And welcome to Show Tunes with Kate Botello from Interlochen Public Radio. Coming up tonight, a salute to Mr. Broadway, George M. Cohan. And for the first time in Tony history, five shows are up for Best Musical this year. We'll hear from three of them. At intermission, our friend Bill Church suffers for his art. In Act Two, we'll play Dress Up with Little Edie, an Egyptian princess, and a comic legend. Lights are dimming now in our virtual house, so please, tell your mom you love her, but you gotta go now, for real. No, seriously, okay, yes, I will. Love you. Okay, bye. You can call her back at intermission. She's gonna want to know how the show's going anyway. Well, you can tell her that the whole thing started with the opening sequence to Monty Python's Spamalot.
Hello? Are you ready?
Yes.
Then we'll begin.
AD. A kingdom divided. To the west, the Anglo-Saxons. To the east, the French. Above, nothing but Celts and some people from Scotland. In Gwynedd, Powys, and Dyfed, plague. In the kingdoms of Wessex, Sussex, Essex, and Kent, plague. In Mercia and the two Anglias, plague, with a 50% chance of pestilence and famine coming out of the northeast at 12 miles per hour. Legend tells us of an extraordinary leader who arose from the chaos to unite a troubled kingdom. A man with a vision who gathered knights together in a holy quest. This man was Arthur, King of the Britons. For this was England!
We dance. Finland is the country where we play. Here in Finland, boy and girl can find a true romance in traditional Scandinavian bay.
Slip, slap,
slip, slap a day.
Slip, slap,
slap a day all day.
Slip, slap.
You simply can't go wrong in traditional fish slapping song.
Finland, Finland, Finland.
The country where I quite want to be.
Pony trekking
or camping
or just watching TV.
I said England.
I don't know. I think maybe the Finnish fish slappers have slapped themselves about the head one too many times. I mean, you know, Finland doesn't really sound like England at all, does it? Does it matter? It doesn't matter. Monty Python's 2005 Spamalot, a musical version of The Holy Grail, was written by John Duprez, Eric Idle, and Neil Innes. And now, Mr. Broadway. George M. Cohan was born on the 4th of July in 1878. Well, that is, if you ask his family. His baptismal certificate states his date of birth as July 3rd, but the Cohans were show people. That was their story, and they were sticking to it. He spent his youth traveling and performing with this vaudevillian family known as the Four Cohans: Papa Jer, Mama Nellie, Sister Josie, and Baby George. And by the time he was a teenager, he basically ran the show and gained his family a reputation as a class act. He was professionally published by the age of 15, directed his first Broadway hit at 26, and from there helped to shape musical theater from vaudeville and operetta into what we know today, songs and stories with actual plots. George's daughter Mary was a music supervisor for the 1968 musical George M. George was played by Joel Grey, who won the Tony for Best Actor that year. Here he is with Jerry Dodge, Betty Ann Grove, and Bernadette Peters as the four Cohans.
What you need is something new, Mr. Albee, and that something new happens to be spelled C O H A N. Go on, Mom.
That's good old musical moon that they sing about in every tune. Never wearing out, painted on the scenery of a musical play. Honeymoon, honeymoon, even got a sunny moon. Musical moon that rhymes with June and spoon and prune. Though the leading lady gets the dough,
wherefore art thou Romeo?
Folks will tell you that there ain't no show till they bring on that musical moon.
Great, kids, great. And now I want you to meet the pride and joy of the family, the most talented little miss in vaudeville, Miss Josie Cohan.
Oh, you wonderful boy, what a wonderful boy you are. You've made the world appear to me, near to me, dear to me.
That was beautiful. And now, kid, I want you to get a load of a song, a step, and a personality that I guarantee you will take New York by storm a week after we open. Little Georgie himself. Goodbye, my lady love. So long, my turtle dove. Farewell, my honest chuckle. I've gotta go. While I am on my way, I'll phone you every day. I'll tell you how I am if you wanna know.
I'll hear if you're acting gaily.
Don't be leery.
Will I get my letter daily?
Yes, my dearie.
Honey, goodbye.
Dearie, don't cry. Honey, dear, you know I've got to go. Home far, far, Broadway. That's the Yankee band. Just got time to say goodbye, that's all. So long, can you hear the train man calling?
Medley from George M., Musical Moon, Oh You Wonderful Boy, and All Aboard for Broadway. Now, speaking of Broadway, here's a rare recording of the real live Mr. Broadway giving his regards to Broadway.
Some years ago, there was born on the 4th of July an American boy. And what difference makes it what year it was? That young fellow who was born on the 4th of July has since become the greatest individual single figure in the American stage. George M. Cohan. See two Yankees part upon a foreign shore when the good ship is just about to start for old New York once more. The tear-dimmed eye says goodbye, they're friends without a doubt. And the man on the pier shouts loud and clear as the ship strikes out, give my regards to Broadway, Herald Square. Tell all the boys at 42nd Street that I will soon be there. Whisper of how I'm yearning to mingle with the old-time throng. Give my regards to old Broadway and say that I'll be there ere long.
That was the man himself, George M. Cohan, with Give My Regards to Broadway. One more from Mr. Broadway now, this time from an actor for whom Cohan became an iconic role, one James Cagney. Now, sure, we often think of him as a gangster in the movies, but long before that, old Jimmy Cagney was a song and dance man. He actually had a lot in common with Cohan on that front. So here's Cagney from the soundtrack of the 1942 movie Yankee Doodle Dandy.
I'm the kid that's all the candy. I'm a Yankee Doodle Dandy. I'm glad I am. I'm a real live Yankee Doodle, made my name and fame and boodle, just as Mr. Doodle did by riding on a pony. I love to listen to the Dixie strain, I long to see the girl I left behind me. That ain't a Josh, she's a Yankee by gosh.
Oh, baby, you think
anything about a Yankee, that's all for me.
Little Johnny Jones, the jockey from the USA,
will ride the pony Yankee Doodle English Derby Day.
Yogi's broken records every track at every beat.
So Yankee Doodle's gonna be the boy they have to beat.
Sportsmen of the British out who followed his career have offered Johnny anything to keep him over here.
But all the money in the Bank of England couldn't pay enough to keep young Johnny Jones away from old Broadway.
If you want to take a trip, the surest of sure things,
have your houses mortgaged, pop your watches, pawn your rings,
and put it all on Yankee Doodle. Johnny Jones is up.
I'm gonna give America the English Derby Cup.
He's gonna give America the English Derby Cup.
I'm a Yankee Doodle Dandy. Yankee Doodle do or die. A real live nephew of my Uncle Sam, born on the 4th of July. I've got a Yankee Doodle sweetheart. She's my Yankee Doodle joy. Yankee Doodle came to London just to ride the ponies. I am that Yankee Doodle boy.
He's a Yankee Doodle dandy, a Yankee Doodle do or die. A real life nephew of his Uncle Sam, born on the 4th of July. He's got a Yankee Doodle sweetheart. She's his Yankee Doodle joy. Yankee Doodle came to London just to ride the pony. He is a Yankee Doodle boy.
are going to the post, all in good condition. That's Yankee Doodle on the end. A wonderful position. Look at him rear. He's broken line. He's simply wild to run. Now they're back in line again. There's the starting gun.
Come on, Yankee Doodle. We have got the whole caboodle on your back. Hurry up, hurry up, hurry up.
Yankee takes the lead.
Come on, break away. They're showing how to earn their hay. They're how to run. Hurry up, hurry up, hurry up. Show a little speed.
At the quarter, he's gaining. At the turn now, he's reining his horse.
Go, 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 go. Hold it back, let it go.
At the half mark, he's cruising, but seems to be losing his lead.
Hurry up, hurry up, hurry up. You simply have to win.
He'll never win, he'll never win. The other nags are closing in. He's gone to third and second place.
It looks as though he's down the race.
He's got him in a pocket. He can't get in the clear. They're in the stretch. Here they come. He's falling to the rear.
He's lost the race, but it's a fright.
He'll find a blind, a rooster, blind and clear. The name of little Johnny Jones. That's it, ladies and gentlemen. It's all over. Yankee Doodle let him down. So they'll either pasture him in clover or have him hauling rubbish in London town.
Goodbye, Johnny, we're through with you. We'll have nothing to do with you.
You've been dishonest, and we find that you be suspended for throwing a race.
I'm a Yankee Doodle Dandy. Yankee Doodle, do or die. Yankee Doodle came to London just to ride the ponies. I am that Yankee Doodle boy.
That was James Cagney channeling George M. Cohan with the Yankee Doodle Boy. Cagney was a very distinctive guy. Impressions of him are instantly recognizable, and during his heyday, they were everywhere. Wizard of Oz, anyone? Anyway, aside from the face and the voice, Cagney also had a really distinctive, stiff-kneed tap dancing style. I mean, his knees move, but it looks like he's flying around on his ankles. It's so cool. I'll put a clip up on the post for this show at interlochenpublicradio.org so you can see what I mean. And now, let's talk some Tonys. Friends, it has been an interesting year for INTS. For the first time ever, there are five shows up for Best Musical this year. Five! And you've heard them all here on this show. The nominees: Bright Star, Hamilton, School of Rock, Shuffle Along, and Waitress. Now, we have to start with the musical with the most nominations, and surprise, surprise, that would be Hamilton, with a total of 16 nominations. That is more than any show ever. Now, one of the 16 nominations is for Philippa Sue, who plays Eliza Schuyler, soon to be Eliza Schuyler Hamilton. Here she is with Helpless.
Light. We were at a revel with some rebels on a hot night, laughing at my sister as she's dazzling the room. Then you walked in and my heart went boom, trying to catch your eye from the side of the ballroom. Everybody's dancing in the band's top volume,
grind to the rhythm as we whine and die.
Grab my sister and whisper, yo, this one's mine.
Ooh.
My sister made her way across the room to you.
Ooh.
And I got nervous thinking, what you gonna do?
Taking me.
I'm
I'm about to change your life.
Then by all means, lead the way.
Elizabeth Schuyler, it's a pleasure to meet you.
Schuyler.
My sister. Thank you for all your service.
If it takes fighting a war for us to meet, it will have been worth it.
I'll leave you to it.
1 week later, I'm writing a letter nightly. Now my life gets better every letter that you write me. Laughing at my sister because she wants to form a harem.
I'm just saying, if you really love me, you would share 'em.
Ha! 2 weeks later, in the living room, stressing. My father stone-faced while you're asking for his blessing. I'm dying inside as you whine and dine. And I'm trying not to cry because there's nothing that your mind can't do. My father makes his way across the room to you. I panic for a second, thinking we're through. But then he shakes your head and says, be true.
I don't have a dollar to my name, an acre of land, a troop to command, a dollop of fame. All I have is my honor, a tolerance for pain, a couple of college credits and my top-notch brain. Insane, your family brings out a different side of me. Peggy confides in me, Angelica tried to take a bite of me. No stress, my love for you is never in doubt. We'll get a little place in Harlem and we'll figure it out. I've been living without a family since I was a child. My father left, my mother died, I grew up buck wild, but I'll never forget my mother's face that was real. As long as I'm alive, Eliza, I swear to God you'll never feel so.
I dare with you, I do, I do.
Eliza,
I dare with you, I do.
I never felt so.
Philippa Sue, up for the Tony for Best Actress in a Musical this year with Helpless from Hamilton. Second in the most nominated list this year is a show that started out in 1921 as a musical by Noble Sissle and Eubie Blake. That show serves as the framework for this year's Shuffle Along, or The Making of the Musical Sensation of 1921 and All That Followed. It's up for 10 Tony Awards. There isn't a cast album out yet for this production, but here's something special for you. Ivan Harold Browning from the original cast of Shuffle Along with Love Will Find a Way.
Come, dear, and don't let our faith weaken. Let's keep our love light shining bright. Your love for me is a heavenly beacon, guiding me on through love's darkest night. Don't start minding or fault finding, no matter how dark the path may grow. Fate won't hurry, well, don't worry. We'll just keep our hearts aglow. Our love will find a way. Though the skies are gray, love like ours can never be ruled. Cupid's not schooled that way. Dry each tear, dimmed eye, clouds soon roll by. Though fate may lead us astray, my dearie, mark what I say. Love will find a
was Ivan Harold Browning with Love Will Find a Way, which is sung in this new expanded production of Shuffle Along by Audra McDonald, who some feel was snubbed in her lack of Tony nomination this year. Now, up for 8 Tonys this year, including Best Revival and Best Leading Actress in a Musical for Laura Bernanti, is the romance She Loves Me. Now, there are lots of great songs in this show, but this one just kills me. Now, again, sorry, no new cast recording yet, so you don't get Laura Bernanti, but you do get Barbara Cook, and she is so delightful in this.
A functional candy box? How functional?
How? Let me tell you, this little box has been a lifesaver to many, many women. They have a slight tendency to overweight. And don't we all? We sit at home reading a good book or listening to a symphony, and without realizing it, our hand slips into the candy box. We become indiscreet, eating sweet after sweet, though we know all too well where that may lead. So this box was designed with the two of us in mind as the kind of reminder we need. When you raise the lid, the music plays like a disapproving nod, and it sings in your ear, no more candy, my dear. In a way, it's a little like the voice of God.
That was Barbara Cook being adorable and hilarious and perfect with No More Candy from Jerry Bock and Sheldon Harnick's 1963 show, She Loves Me. By the way, Barbara Cook, who won the Tony for Best Actress in 1957 for her role in The Music Man, was not nominated in 63 for her role as Amelia in She Loves Me, and many people consider that a major historical snub. And after hearing that song, I'd have to say I agree. Now we'll hear more about famous snubs in our next episode. House lights are coming up, and oh, there goes the intermission chime, so let's head out to the lobby and get your mom on speaker so she can meet our friend Bill Church. Bill is the director of theater arts at Interlochen Arts Academy. He's been a professional actor, director, and teacher for so long that he's kind of lost count of how many shows he's done. Now, with that many shows under your belt, you're bound to have a war story.
A war story. So we'll go back to my performance days. So before becoming a teacher and director and all of that, I made my living as an actor, mostly on the East Coast, but really all over in national tour and things. And there was a production of Romeo and Juliet up at North Shore Music Theater, which is right outside of Boston. It's a huge theater, about 1,500 seats. They normally do musicals, as their title might suggest, but they do one Shakespeare a year. And I was up there to play Paris in Romeo and Juliet. And Paris is the guy who really wants to marry Juliet, but she chooses Romeo over him. Oh. But he has a big fight scene at the end, and I got a lot of work as a stage combatant doing fights. So this is a theater completely in the round, 1,500 seats, and then a round stage right in the middle. And the stage revolves, so it's constantly moving. So we were fighting on moving ground. And in this sword fight, I had a rapier and a dagger. And the boy playing Romeo, the young man playing Romeo, had a rapier and what's called a mattock, which is like a crowbar with two nails at the end.
Ouch.
So it's vicious.
Okay.
Just a vicious weapon. And we were fighting, and fights are so intricately choreographed. I mean, every step, every look of eyes, every hand placement, there's a lot of detail in there. So in this particular move, I had a parry, which is a block, over my head with the rapier dagger. I had his rapier up there, and all my weight was on my left leg because I knew he was going to slice at my stomach with the mattock, and I was going to shift back, and all the weight was perfectly placed, everything ready to go. And we looked each other in the eye, and I could tell that he forgot the next move. So he didn't know where to swing, and his eyes got really big. And I was trying to cue or think about what to do, and then all of a sudden he decided to swing, but instead of my stomach, he swung at my head with the nails at the end of the mattock. So I just had to get out of the way, and to get out of the way, I had to turn my whole body, but all the weight was on my left leg, and my knee just went to twist out of the way. So I went down, and I could just feel the pain and things starting to happen in my knee, but that was not the end of the fight. So I knew I couldn't lie there on this revolving part of the stage because I would just be, you know, circling the audience as this dead body who wasn't really dead because I never got killed. So I somehow crawled, limped my way over to the stairway. And the end of this fight ended with Romeo beating my head into a stair. And under the stair was a sponge loaded with this red liquid. So every time my head hit the stair, I would squeeze the sponge and this red liquid would fly up like it was blood. So somehow I was able to do that. I got into my death position, tears just streaming down my face because the pain of this tear was quite significant. But then I had to lie there for about 15 to 20 minutes because there's a lot more of the play. Then Romeo discovers Juliet, thinks she has died. He drinks the poison. He has a very long monologue. He drinks the poison. Juliet wakes up. She has a very long monologue. She kills herself with a dagger. Then the whole cast comes in. The friar has a 2-page monologue. So 15 to 20 minutes of lying, trying not to shake as tears are streaming down my face with his knee. And then finally the show ended. Curtain call came, and I just laid there during curtain call. All the other actors were taking their bows. The audience was cheering and clapping. And then they all left, and as the audience was leaving, the crew came and got me and helped me down. So it was pretty awful. I think that was probably the worst war story I have from the performing days.
So they carry you out for curtain call?
After curtain call, as the audience is going, I kind of got a little help and limped away. And then that's the only time in my life I've ever had to miss a performance was after that. My understudy had to go on because they just couldn't do it. But not my best day in the theater.
Dodging a nail to twist your knee and then have your head repeatedly beat into
the
stairs and then have to lie there.
Yeah.
The magic of the theater.
You never know what's going to happen when it's live.
Once again, say it with me, please. The show must go on. Thanks to Bill for sharing that painful memory and to the crew for helping him get off stage. Now, Shakespeare's Romeo and Juliet is not a musical, but West Side Story is. Here's the rumble.
Get him, Tony! Get him!
Thank you.
lights are flashing in our virtual lobby, so again, many thanks to Bill Church for his Shakespearean war story. Then let's head in for Act Two. Speaking of Shakespeare, as Polonius would say, the apparel oft proclaims the man, a.k.a. the clothes make the man, or in these three cases, the woman. First, there's fashion advice from little Edie Bouvier as she describes the revolutionary costume for the day. Then Princess Amneris describes her strongest suit. And finally, Fanny Bryce is a vintage goddess with secondhand rose.
Oh, hi. Thank heaven you're here. You look absolutely terrific, honestly. Mother wanted me to come out in a kimono, so we had quite a fight. The best kind of clothes for a protest pose is this ensemble of pantyhose pulled over the shorts, worn under the skirt that doubles as a cape. To reveal you in capri pants, you fashion out of ski pants in a jersey knit designed to fit the contour of your shape. Then cinch it with the cord from the drape. And that's the revolutionary costume for today, to show the polo riders in khakis and topsiders just what a revolutionary costume has to say. It can't be ordered from L.L. Bean. There's more to living than Kelly Green. And that's the revolution, I mean. Da-da-da-da-da. Just listen to this. The Hamptons Bee, July 1972. The elderly bedridden aunt of former First Lady Jacqueline Kennedy, Mrs. Edith Bouvier Beale, my very own mother, can you imagine? And her adult daughter, Miss Edie Beale, a former debutante once known as Body Beautiful Beale. They called me Body Beautiful Beale, it's true. That was my, what do you call it, my sobriquet. I'm living on Long Island in a garbage-ridden, filthy 28-room house with 52 cats, fleas, cobwebs, and virtually no plumbing. After vociferous complaints from neighbors, the Board of Health took legal action against the reclusive pair. Why, it's the most disgusting, atrocious thing ever to happen in America. You fight City Hall with a Persian shawl that used to hang on the bedroom wall, pinned under the chin, adorned with a pin, and pulled into a twist. Reinvent the objet trouvé, make a poncho from a duvet, then you can be with Cousin Lee on Mr. Blackwell's list. The full-length velvet glove hides the fist. And that's the revolutionary costume for today. Subvert the Chris-Kraft voters, those Nixon Agnew voters. Armies of conformity are headed right your way. To make a statement you need not be in Boston Harbor upending tea. And that's a revolution to me. Starch! There's nothing worse, I tell you. Starch! Staunch. Staunch women, we just don't weaken. A little known fact of the fascist pact who comes here for antiquing. Da-da-da-da-da. Honestly, they can get you in East Hampton for wearing red shoes on a Thursday and all that sort of thing. I don't know whether you know that. I mean, do you know that? They can get you for almost anything. It's a mean, nasty Republican town. The best kind of shoes to express bold views are strapless mules and assertive hues like fuchsia or peach, except on the beach, in which case you wear flats. When I stood before the nation at Jack's inauguration, in a high-heel pump, I got the jump on Jackie's pillbox hats. Just watch it where you step with the cats! And that's the revolutionary costume port is your. You mix, match, and presto, a fashion manifesto. That's why a revolutionary costume's de rigueur. The rhododendrons are hiding spies. The pussy willows have beady eyes. Binoculars through the privet hedge. They peek at you through the window ledge with guile. We're in the revolution. So in the revolution, we're style. Da-da-da-da-da.
In life, one has to face a huge assortment of nauseating fads and good advice. There's health and fitness, diet and deportment, and other pointless forms of sacrifice. Conversation, wit, I am a doubter. Manners, charm, they're no way to impress. So forget the inner me, observe the outer. I am what I wear and how I dress. Oh, now I believe in looking like my time on earth is cooking, whether polka dotted, striped, or even checked. With some glamour guaranteeing every fiber of my being is displayed to quite remarkable effect. From your cradle via trousseau to your deathbed, you're on view. So never compromise, except no substitute. I would rather wear a barrel than conservative apparel, for a dress has always been my strongest suit. Your stuff.
Bryce, the original Funny Girl with Secondhand Rose by James F. Hanley and Grant Clark. That song was a big hit for Barbra Streisand, but it's not on the movie soundtrack for Funny Girl, and it's not in the Broadway show at all. Before that, Cheri Renee Scott's Princess Amneris is what she wears with My Strongest Suit from the 2000 musical Aida by Elton John and Tim Rice. And we started out with Christine Ebersole in her Tony-winning turn as iconic Little Edie Bouvier in Grey Gardens, based on a documentary by Alfred and David Maisels. Time now for our 11 o'clock number, where often somebody has a freakout. Now, in this case, it's Guido. He's the lead in Maury Yeston's 1982 musical, Nine. Nine is based on the semi-autobiographical Fellini film, Eight and a Half, about a writer-director having an absolute crisis of writer's block.
Not since Charlie Chaplin has there ever been a film director like this, Guido Gondini. Everything he does gets world attention, whether it's a hit or a miss. Guido Gondini. He writes the script. I can't make this movie, there's no way that I'll complete it. I can't bear to see the cameras roll. Problem is the subject, there's no pleasant way to treat it. Problem is the author's lost control. How I wish it didn't have to be so, but we got the losses starting now. Strike the set and keep it for some sideshow. Tell the cast and crew that they can all
another genius. I can't be one or become one. I can't even tell how I'd begin. Help, Louisa. Help me, Mama. Help me, someone. Here's a place that I have never been. We go out in space with no direction. We know I'm a boss for what to say. We go with no intervening actors. We know at the mercy of detractors. We know here with no one else but we.
From our original vinyl recording of Nine the Musical, that was Raul Julia melting down with I Can't Make This Movie. Don't worry, Guido. You might be alone and devastated at the moment, but your show is going to win 5 Tonys. It'll be fine. And now it's time for us to end our show the way we began, with the finale to Monty Python's Spamalot, in which everyone has found some sort of grail.
Lady, will you marry me?
I thought you'd never ask.
See, it's all a show, happy ending and all, and that just makes me want to sing. When you're lost on life's trail and you feel doomed to fail, do not fail, find your mail. Find your mail, that's your grail.
Just think, Herbert, in 1,000 years' time, this will still be controversial.
And I, too, have found my grail.
What's that?
Musical theater!
You can sing, you can dance, and you won't soil your pants. In your white tie and tail, find your grail, find your grail.
Hallelujah, a Broadway wedding!
So be strong,
find your grail, friend. Find your grail. The curtain falls, the crowd goes wild, the house lights come up, and we come to the end of another episode of Show Tunes with Kate Botello. That's me. Make a request for your favorite show tune by sending an email to ipr@interlochen.org. Thanks again to Bill Church for the war story. Michael Culler was our engineer. This is Interlochen Public Radio. See you in the aisles.